Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:14 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 8th, and I thought we'd kick off with Rolls-Royce. It's been a very significant upward dynamic that we've seen this week, and it has the potential to form a Type 2 bottom, but of course that won't be confirmed until we do in fact have the massive reaction against the prevailing trend, and so far this is not a large enough move. In fact, this move we've seen so far is quite similar size to the pop on the upside that we had back in June, but it's certainly indicative of short covering. Now if we switch it around and look at all the way back in 2013, then we had a reasonably consistent trend running up to that peak. Then we had a massive reaction, we had a failed upside break, and then a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. It broke the sequence of higher reaction lows, pulled back below the region of the trend mean. Subsequently, we had a range, which we might characterize as a first step below the peak, or a period of right-hand extension. Then another drop on the downside, retest of the lower side of the range, failure, and then another big downward draft. So that constituted a downtrend that lasted almost 2 years and shaved more than 50% off the value of the share. We had some recovery through to 2018, and then things started going pear-shaped again. Well, levels today are at extraordinarily depressed regions. We haven't seen prices this low since 2003, which was at the end of the bear market that began in the late 1990s. So there is obviously scope for additional upside. There's a lot of debt that's been taken out. There's obviously a lot of challenges that need to be overcome. That's been reflected in the price. So now if we're going to have a Type 2 bottom, it would look quite like what we've seen at the peak, which would be a massive reaction against the prevailing trend and a period of right-hand extension, which would have broken the sequence of lower rally highs. We'd be then somewhere in the region of the trend mean, either just above or just below it, and then a recovery would take place from there. So it's still very early days. We're only a week into a potential recovery, and even then it hasn't yet been fully confirmed, but certainly the outlook is looking more positive. When we think about the industrial sector generally, then another big company and a competitor of Rolls-Royce would be General Electric. It had a cataclysmic decline following just repeated bad news and mismanagement, but the share has stabilized around the $6 area. We have to go an awful long way back in history to find a point prior to 2008 where it traded at these levels. And again, we're all the way back in the early 1990s. So there is, of course, the potential that things do not recover for General Electric, but this is a company that had been engaged in rationalization and a recovery plan, at least, before the COVID surprise, and they continue to progress with it. Then when we look at a newer company like the Chemours company, that was spun off from DuPont about 18 months ago, and it is pushing on the upside. It doesn't quite have the same legacy of mismanagement as some of these other companies, and sorry, that was spun out in 2015. But it is pushing up and out of this first step above the base. So this is looking like a more encouraging pattern overall. There is clear evidence on the chart that the base formation has been completed. It has now got ample scope in which to consolidate above the trend mean and still be in a recovery scenario. The reality is when we look at what's going on in China, that they've been on holiday for the last week, they're coming back to work tomorrow, and the more positive outlook is that commodity demand is picking up. Well, commodity demand doing better is reflective of demand from the infrastructure sector, but it's also reflective of demand from the industrial sector. The continuous commodity index is now right in the region of the peak from early this year. This is actually something we've seen in a reasonably large number of industrial or commodity related indices. They had been on the cusp of doing better right at the beginning of this year, then they collapsed, and it's taken them this long to recoup the decline, and now they continue to look like they're going to firm. So when we think about the continuous commodity index, it's equal weighted, and it hasn't quite yet given us clear evidence that the downtrend has been broken, but it is looking increasingly positive. When we look at the spot index of raw industrial resources, then it hasn't also quite broken the sequence of lower rally highs, but the trend mean is turning higher, and it does have room in which to consolidate. So it is looking increasingly likely that the commodity complex is starting to turn around. Well, then when we look at the mining indices, the FTSE 350 mining index has been ranging below 20,000 for 8 years. And it's still consolidating above the trend mean. If it can sustain a move above 20,000, well, then we have clear confirmation that we are back in a clear medium-term demand-dominated environment. Rio Tinto has been one of the better performing large cap mining companies, and it is consolidating just below the psychological 5,000 level and in the region of the peak from 2019. But it's one of the few industrial resources companies that is in very close proximity to the peak set back in 2008. Then when we look at the technology sector, Tesla has committed itself to delivering a significant cost saving in the production of batteries. In order to achieve that, they are completely redesigning their vehicles, particularly the bed holding the battery and the chassis. Then they are also buying up lithium resources so that they can reduce their input costs, and then they've also committed to manufacture their own battery cells, and they haven't done that previously. They've generally just compiled the manufactured cells into their battery packs. So by taking over upstream and downstream production of batteries, they hope to be able to deliver cheaper batteries overall. But that's an uncertain prospect. It's something that is going to require a great deal of technical expertise, and the company does have a history of volatility. It's quite likely that we've probably seen a medium-term peak for the share. But one thing I thought was particularly interesting is that when we look at the lithium miners, they have also recouped the earlier advance they put in at the beginning of 2020, and they've broken medium-term downtrends. It's been a quiet time over the last more than 2 years for the lithium sector, but the commonality in the sector has certainly been improving. We can see increasing evidence of shares that continue to do well. The ETF, which is both lithium and batteries, is also heavily influenced by Tesla. But there are a large number of base formations within the lithium mining sector and isolated cases of outperformance. So then it's also true that a number of the Australian miners have recently broken back above their respective trend means and look increasingly likely that they will be able to break their respective downtrends. Orocombre, for example, was up in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today. In Canada, Pure Energy looks like it's putting in a first step above the base, and it is still trading at a fraction of where it was trading all the way back in 2018, following a more than 90% decline. So it is looking increasingly likely that we are starting to see interest returning to the lithium production sector, and some of the better performers are among the cheapest producers overall. But then the the clear rationale here is that we're likely to see significant resources poured into green investment. And that is as true in Europe as it is in China. And depending on who wins the election in the USA, it could be true in the US as well. The solar sector has been doing spectacularly well and has rallied really very impressively off the lows in March. The wind sector hasn't been quite as impressive on the upside until recently, but it was up in a pretty dynamic manner again this week and continues to pull away from what is effectively a six-year range. So there is obviously a lot of money getting deployed in the renewable energy sector. We're seeing increasing evidence of interest. The Brookfield Renewable Partners ETF, however, was in negative territory in here today, and it is a little overbought in the short term. Now, when we then think about what's going on in terms of the stock market, well, the S&P 500 has bounced from the region of the trend mean, and it was in positive territory again in here today. The NASDAQ is also still quite steady and wasn't up in a dynamic manner today, but it is certainly holding the 11,000 level. There's a lot of questioning about how likely it is we're going to have additional stimulative measures introduced. I don't really think it's a question of if, but rather when. And the animosity between the two parties in the US election is obviously something that is weighing to a certain extent on the their willingness to introduce new stimulative measures. But regardless of which way the election goes, it's quite likely that we are going to have additional stimulative measures introduced in the next few months. 10-year Treasury yields were in negative territory today, but so far this little range has been forming above the majority of trading for the last 4 months, and the overextension relative to the trend mean hasn't been quite unwound, but it's certainly getting there. The 30-year yield is right in the region of the trend mean, and it's been holding there now for the last few days. So we are at a point where investors are beginning to think about, well, what exactly is the outlook for spending, and what are the expectations that have been already priced in from the Fed to continue to support markets. The stock market is continuing to rally because I think stock market investors are pretty much convinced that regardless of who wins the election, there's going to be a lot of additional stimulus. It's reasonable against that background for bonds to ease somewhat, because the Federal Reserve has not been particularly active in buying bonds. At least there's no evidence of it buying bonds on the size of the balance sheet. But what we have seen is that the M2 figure has been increasing. So that's at least some evidence that we're getting stimulative measures coming through, but it's not going up in an especially dynamic manner. So really what the stock market and the bond market are trading off of are promises from the Fed. Gold was in mildly positive territory in here today, but it's certainly not pulling back in a dynamic manner, and we didn't get any downside follow through, at least not yet, from the downward dynamic that we had on Tuesday. But it hasn't been able to push back above the $1,900 level yet. And it would really need to do that if we get, or in order to clearly demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. I still think that there is a risk that gold may pull back further, but it is such an obvious area to, I think that many investors would regard as a bargain, we may not quite get down that far. The GDX ETF is also mostly unwinding its overextension relative to the trend mean. We haven't quite yet seen a clear catalyst for investors to start supporting gold shares again, but it's inevitable because this wall of additional spending that is coming from around the world is likely to propel gold as a hedge against the devaluation of purchasing power. The ECB is beginning to talk about its awareness of just how much the euro has rallied this year. They're very alert to that 120 area. They don't really want to see the euro strengthening through it. So far, the USA has been much more activist in devaluing its currency than anywhere else. But there is no way that Europe, or indeed Japan, really wants to have a strong currency. And the Japanese are certainly looking like they're defending the 104 area. But I do think that the yen is one of the more interesting currencies around, because there's a clear downward bias to the chart over the course of the last few years. And in order to clearly demonstrate that we're looking at a weak yen environment, well, then it's going to have to sustain a move through 110. And this trend is the kind of trend that looks like an accumulation. So there could be a Japanese election in the not-so-distant future. If we do get that, it will likely cement Suga's control of the government, and then they can pretty much do whatever they want. The Nikkei is pushing back up towards that 24,000 level. It hasn't quite broken out yet, but I do think it's looking increasingly likely that it will. If the Japanese government is willing to devalue the currency, then that would represent a lockstep move for the Nikkei. The second section index is right in the region of the trend mean. It was in positive territory so far this week, but pulled back slightly in here today. If it can pull up and out of this little range, well, then we can start thinking about recovery, but it's a little too early to reach that conclusion with confidence just yet. Then when we look at what's going on in Hong Kong as perhaps a harbinger of what we can expect from mainland China opening up tomorrow, the H-share index has been rebounding over the course of the last week. China is ramping up its stimulative measures, and they're coming out the other end of the coronavirus. I think it is a template for what we can expect from just about everywhere else. The Nasdaq Biotech Index remains quite firm and continues to rebound from the region of the trend mean. So this does look like a first step above the base and the beginning of a new medium-term bull market overall. Obviously, we have some significant political uncertainty in both the USA and between Europe and the UK. The pound has been strengthening, but it's still below the psychological 130 area. And it's going to have to sustain a move above that level in order to clearly confirm a return to demand dominance. I think there's going to be a great deal of volatility in relations between the UK and the EU over the next few months. And brinksmanship has been amped up significantly over the course of the last week, but markets are not really reacting in a volatile manner to it, which suggests that investors are of the opinion that it's more brinksmanship than any real concrete evidence of positions. And not least that negotiations are still ongoing. Obviously, if we see, I think that the currency is by far the most important lightning rod for how investors are positioned. If we were to see the pound failing here at 110 and pulling back below the 108 level, then that would certainly suggest pricing in of a hard Brexit overall. There's, I think, a number of potential outcomes from the U.S. presidential election. I think the biggest risk is that there are legal challenges as a result of the mail-in vote. My house received two different ballots for people who used to live here years ago yesterday. So conceivably, I could vote twice, even though I'm not a citizen and not entitled to vote at all. If I were willing to break the law, I could vote twice in the U.S. presidential election. And this doesn't really matter in a state where You have effectively single-party government anyway. But in swing states, then this is obviously a source of potential fraud, and it's likely to be even more important in this election because it's likely to be a tight vote overall, and the whole process of mail-in voting is going to come under a great deal more scrutiny. And obviously, that does represent a source of potential volatility, but the VIX index, having pushed up on Tuesday, I should say, has pulled straight back down over the last couple of days, but it hasn't pulled back below 20, and it spent a good long time ranging below 20 ahead of the coronavirus. So we are in a slightly more volatile environment overall. Meanwhile, the transportation index had broken up to new highs yesterday and followed through on the upside in here today. The Russell 2000 index was up in a dynamic manner in here today. So we are seeing increasing bets that stimulative measures will be introduced and that we are going to see recovery continue into 2021. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.